what kind of church should we go to? And should we even go to church at all? Find out on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
In the studio with me are my friends. This is the Inverse Show, and we're so excited that you decided to join us. In this segment of the 13-week arc that we're in, we're looking at God's will for our life. And in this episode, we're looking at, is it God's will for me to go to church? And what kind of church? And what does the Bible have to say about that? So we're going to read the Bible. Right, we're going to read the Bible, we're going to go to Ephesians 4, and we'll have a prayer and read the Bible, and then we'll hang out together. So, Jonathan, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. And Siku, you doing well?
Yes.
Okay, Israel, can you pray for us?
Yeah, I'd love to pray. Thank you. I was hoping you'd call on me. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you'd be with us as we discuss this important topic of your will for our lives, and especially the impact of church and how it intersects with who we are. Mm-hmm. Join us, please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Siku, chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, please.
Of Ephesians?
Yes.
Okay. Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
All right, thanks. This is a good, juicy passage. Thank you for reading it. I want to ask you a general question before we get to Jonathan. Why should we go to church to begin with? I guess I start with the questions. A lot of people are thinking, this is going to be one of those episodes. They're going to try to get me to go out to church if you're not going to church. Or maybe there are people who are already going to church and I don't need reasons to go to church. So it's kind of this episode is like not really. Yeah. So let's talk about this for a while before we actually get into it.
There, it's always good to have a reflection on why we do what we do, right? And so I think whether we go to church or not, and what I appreciate about these Inverse episodes is, I don't know how much people know, but what is happening now is happening in real time. Mm-hmm. And so as we study ourselves, we're really gaining insights in real time. Mm. And this happens every single time we do this. And so I think that as we study the topic of church and as we reflect on these things, first of all, it benefits me. It helps reestablish and reaffirm in my life why I do what I do. And I think hopefully it will do the same for other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Church is a place where people who believe in the same God come together and annoy each other, right? Mm-hmm. Annoy each other. Okay. And this is important because Christianity is...
You did say annoy.
I said annoy.
Oh, I said annoy each other. Oh,
annoy.
Interesting.
Annoy.
All right.
Right. This is important because Christianity doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? It's easy for me to be a Christian when I'm all by myself in my house with Jesus and I'm praying and, you know, committing my life to him. But Christ says that how do you people know that you're my disciples? If you have love one for another. Mm-hmm. Christianity is expressed when we are interacting with other people. And church is a platform where all these people who say they know Jesus come together and interact with each other. And I said annoy because part of why people want to avoid church is because people can be hecka annoying, right? Yeah. They're all up in your business, and they want to know what's happening with your life, and they have an opinion on every aspect of your life, which we've been talking about this season is in every single aspect of your life, what you're going to eat, how you're going to dress, who you're going to talk to, who you're going to date, who are your friends. people, they have an opinion about every single thing, and
yeah.
I don't want you all up in my business, so I'm not going to go to church.
Well, if you want to know God's will for your life, go to church, and you'll have multiple wills, right?
I don't know if it's been your experience, but in my experience, in hanging out with fellow young adults and ministering to campus ministry students, a lot of people don't have issues with the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Bible, but they have a lot of issues with church people.
Yeah.
And you get burned a lot. Mm-hmm. And why does God use really what seems like a faulty medium to push the gospel forward in the world? That's the underlying question here. Mm-hmm. So, Jonathan, we'll come to you. You've been so patiently listening and meditating on Ephesians 4, and he's talking about what? I know we read it, but summarize it in your own words if you don't mind.
Sure. So Paul likes the image of the body. He likes to talk about the church as the body of Christ. Obviously, we are not the literal physical body of Christ, but we are the physical representation of Christ here on earth as he is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He ministers to the world through us,
mm-hmm.
In a way. And so God calls his people on earth, his those who believe in him, the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so a church here, Paul is talking about it in this context that we are to edify each other, to support each other, to grow together,
mm-hmm.
and to do the mission of the work
mm-hmm.
together. And so he goes here through different points, but we might be analyzing every verse. Verse 14,
yeah.
It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, but speaking the truth in love. So what church, one of the blessings of church,
yeah.
What's that? Why you're glad?
No, you read it very quickly. So,
one of the blessings of church is that we are annoying each other, that we are that we have people who will make sure or that can help us not to go into the wrong direction. If I'm all by myself and I'm just focusing on what I think is the right way, it's very easy to be carried away with my personal opinion. When I have other people, like here on Inverse, we can study together. We're bouncing off ideas from each other, but we take it from the Word. I believe, and this is what this is saying here, that the Holy Spirit is directing us into the truth and into love.
Yeah, the church seems to be an opportunity where one individual can be integrated into a corporate community.
Yes.
Yeah. So they retain their individual in a plurality. And this is really a mystery that is only reflected in the nature of God, in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
We have three individuals in a plurality, and there's a certain unity
in
Godhead. Yeah, and that's kind of reflected in us. Otherwise, we become these individual monads and again, more susceptible to selfishness, more inward thinking, and just it's just between me and God, and me. But now you're subjecting yourself to, again, annoying people and being annoyed by them, and then you also annoying possibly others.
Maybe say refine or sharpen each other, you know.
Okay.
Anyways.
All right. Are there other aspects about this verse?
Outside of that, there's the need for self-dependence or for dependence on other people.
Mm.
And I think we live in a society, in a generation. It's human nature. We don't live in a society. It's human nature that we want to not be dependent on people. We want to be independent.
Mm.
But here we have a logical reason for the fact that we know that God wants a church.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that there in the beginning of the passage. It says, and he himself in verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers.
Mm.
So in other words, what Paul is saying here is there's a purpose for why God establishes spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what's that purpose? Well, the purpose is to benefit the church.
Mm-hmm.
So why the fact that there is giftedness in people, the fact that people have gifts, means that because we have gifts, God has designed a church for those gifts to be displayed.
Be used.
And so he uses that differently in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the body of Christ. The body needs the hand.
Mm.
In the same way that the body needs the hand, we need, as individuals, gifts that other people have that we do not have. And these gifts, it's incredible to know that there are certain gifts that you have that are essential for my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not essential just for your salvation, but they're essential for my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so God makes it God makes it...
creates a certain interdependency, interconnectivity between the people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that my salvation is not just dependent on myself and God, but it's dependent on another individual. Okay. It shows the helplessness of the human experience.
Yeah, I like that. Like the spiritual gifts, you know, in verse 12, you have this dual, I guess, a quote, inward for the church benefit and outward, right? For the equipment of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? So the gifts are so that a church can reach out, be the hands and feet of Christ to the world, right? Mm-hmm. But the gifts are also for the church itself to be edified, right? So we need to come together as a church so that we can do God's work and so that we ourselves, like Israel was saying, so we ourselves can be edified. Mm-hmm. And then he says in verse 13, until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that coming to a unity of the faith, it's a process. The way he phrases it, till we come to that, you don't start unified, right? You got to work through your differences. You got to work through your misunderstandings till we come to that place. So God gives us these gifts so that we can work through these things.
Mm-hmm.
He gives people to be prophets, some to be teachers, so that we can learn what Scripture is saying, and we learn it corporately, and we grow as a church till we come to the unity and we can be a better reflection of the unity that is the Godhead itself.
Mm-hmm. In a way, I always like to look at existence here on earth, on this side of heaven, in the light of the future experience that we are going to have in heaven. So God is preparing us now to get along so that we can get along in heaven.
Mm.
And the experience of church now, it is for the process of being built up and growing together and understanding more about God and reflecting Him better. But it's also to prepare us for that perfect unity that will be in heaven. Mm-hmm. It is to teach us, it is to give us a glimpse of what heaven will be like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, not every church experience is that way. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the
it's
ideal
the
that wants
us. Yeah,
exactly. To experience a glimpse of heaven, and everyone who comes should have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the ideal.
There's another reason there, in addition to the unity of faith, it says, and the knowledge of the Son of God.
That's right.
And so there's another element. It's impossible for us to fully understand who Jesus is if we do not have other people that help us discover this person of Jesus Christ. And so how does this happen? There are many experiences that kind of surface as we interact with one another. And the church is a global body of Christ.
Right.
And when we come together, even in this group, right, there are certain things that people say that I'm thinking to myself, I never thought about it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh man, I never looked at God. I never imagined God to be in this way. And so the body of Christ, as it intersects with one another, discovers new meaning of what it means or of who God really is.
Yes.
God is not a Mexican-American guy living in the United States, right? He's much broader than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine, you know, penguins go huddling together, you know. When it says here in verse 14 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, I just imagine these penguins gathering together and it's cold outside. And as long as they're together, they can survive these winds. And the church was meant to be a contrast to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there is no contrast. And the logical question is, do I really need to be part of that pack if there is no difference at all?
Mm-hmm.
When we come back after the break, we're going to look at what are the search parameters for God's church. Maybe the churches that you've been to and that we've been to have been imperfect, but how can I help? Or what is God's will regarding how to choose a church when you come back? Stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking about church attendance. Should we go to church? And after this Bible study, we're like, yeah, we should go to church. But what kind of church should we go to?
Well, there's a reason why God establishes church.
Mm.
And I think the bottom line answer to that is we don't know. But we find it in chapter 3, verse 8. This is Paul speaking. And notice what he says. It says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, the grace of God was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just, you know, look at what Paul is saying there. It, like, makes no sense. He says, like, I am the least of the saints, meaning, like, I'm at the bottom of the hill. I'm like at the bottom of whatever, the list of people, mm-hmm. the least of all saints. Mm-hmm. And it says, to me, who is the least of the saints, this grace was given. All right, that makes sense. You need grace because you're at the least, right? It says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's like God takes the least of all the saints, and he says, I want you to preach something that is not even searchable. Mm-hmm. Like, you're bad, you're the least, and then do something that is impossible to do. Mm-hmm. So why does he do that? Then it says in verse 9, and to make all men see. I love that word see, because it's not to make all men know. It says to make all men see, or not all men hear. It says to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all through Jesus Christ. So basically what Paul is saying is there's this mystery that has been hidden in Christ. From the very beginning of time, this was God's secret. The secret is now revealed through the church. How is it revealed through the church? It's revealed through the church in an extremely mysterious way. That God will take a person who is the least and will then cause this person to do something, to speak something that's unsearchable. Mm-hmm. In this mysterious process of the least trying to share that which is unsearchable, something happens. Mm-hmm. And then he says what happens there. To the intent in verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by or through the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So he says what God does is, he takes a person, Paul, and if you read the beginning of chapter 3, it's even more intense. God takes Paul. He changes Paul's life. He says, you're the least person, and because you're the least, I'm going to give you this thing called grace. With this thing called grace, you're going to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and as you do something, as you do this mysterious, nonsensical thing, what's going to happen is that the wisdom of God is going to be revealed. This is like, how is the wisdom of God revealed? The wisdom of God is revealed that in the church, in these interactions where God takes you who is the least, you who is the least, you who is the least, and me who is the least, he gets us all together, and something that is impossible to happen mysteriously happens. The wisdom of God is manifested in that salvation mm-hmm. takes place in a corporate setting through the grace of God, in the changing of an individual from something through an impossible process, through this mysteriously impossible process. And so the reason why the church is necessary is because a mysterious thing happens when people who are sinners come together and sinners make saints out of each other.
I mean, you're hitting the jugular there. The focal point, the touch point is something happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we don't know what it is.
Something happens at church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't know how, why, where, all any of these things, but something happens,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it happens at church. I appreciate that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25. I want to divert a conversation on how do we find this church.
Mm-hmm.
Really, after Israel's exposition of Hebrews 3, the mystery Ephesians 3, it can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
But there are parameters of where this mystery takes place. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Mm-hmm. And Siku, can you read that for us?
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay, so let's take church attendance really raw. It's not about church attendance, mm-hmm. not about church membership, but what are some principles we see from that verse?
Yeah, I mean, verse 24, I love it. It says here, let us consider one another.
Mm.
Okay?
The plurality, community is there.
There's community, there is a focus on the other person,
yes.
And consider this person and consider him someone who you want to encourage to stir up what? Love and good works.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting him. That's something that comes naturally to us,
mm-hmm.
right? And then not forsaking the assembly.
Well, before, I mean, we were in 24.
Yeah.
I think the emphasis is there. Go to church, a meeting, an assembly, and help someone else out.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is a fundamentally different directionality than where people go to church today. People go to church and I didn't get anything out of it.
Right.
No one ministered to me. It's
or we just go to entertain.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
That's fine. It's just a really important point there. Verse 25 then, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as the day approaching. The day is approaching. Jesus is coming. And this world is getting messier and messier. How much more do we need community in Christ now than ever before? Yeah. You know, he realized it there 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
How much more today?
Yeah, and so the penguins need to huddle together more and more and more.
It's getting colder.
It's getting colder, yeah.
Yeah, and I took note of in verse 25 where he says, as is the manner of some. This thing of people not wanting to go to church, it's not a new thing, apparently. He says, as
since the early church.
Yeah. There are people who are like, they don't want to go to church and assemble themselves together.
Kind of a passive aggressive, like, as a matter of some.
But and I know you said in the beginning, like, it's not just about church attendance, but it is about a church attendance, right? It's not just about that, but it is about church attendance. That we should, you can't have the experience that God wants you to have in the church fellowship alone with God in your room, right? And there is an important aspect to being alone with God in your room. But, you know, in 1 John, he says, you know, you say you love God. How do you know that you love God, right? You only know you love God by loving your brother, right? So our one-on-one relationship with God that I have in my personal devotions every single day, how is it manifested? Like, what does it mean? What weight does it carry? It's now how I interact with people when I leave my little closet and interact with other people to stir them up to love and to good work.
Okay. So when people out there are listening, are like, all right, I get it. It's God's will for me to go to church. I got it. So where do I go? And so give me some principles from the Bible. What kind of church they should go to? Are they going to go to the local 7-Eleven and talk to someone eating a hot dog and let's have church together? Or how does this work?
You want to go to the church where Jesus is.
Where Jesus is. And where is Jesus, Siku?
He's in the kind of church where you would
have. Okay.
Oh, Revelation.
The church that follows Jesus.
Revelation chapter 12.
Yeah, Revelation chapter 12, he says in a weird European accent. You don't know which country he's from.
Revelation 12, verse 17.
12, 17. I don't know what kind of accent that was. 12, 17, the Bible says, the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
That's right. So here we were talking about the day is approaching.
Yes.
Revelation here is talking about the end times and the church of God in the last days.
Yes.
And it's very clear that God is saying, hey, Satan is the dragon, is enraged with the church. That's why it's getting colder. The penguin needs to hurdle. But who are those people? Who are the people we should seek out if we want to be in God's church? They're those who keep the commandments of God. Those who take the Bible seriously. And they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus' truth, his message is being seen, is being accepted as it is, and is being lived out. And Jesus is testifying to this church, is ministering to this church, the people who are faithful to the word of God.
Now, with those two litmus tests, that automatically kind of limits your choices there. Other Bible principles on how to choose a church. Siku? Israel?
1 Corinthians chapter 12.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay.
Talks to us about, we were looking at Ephesians and we were talking about the fact that God gives gifts to his church.
Yes.
And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about, it talks to us about the church of Corinth who has spiritual gifts. And what we find that is significant in this passage is the fact that this is a church that is willing to use its spiritual gifts. It's a church that is acknowledging the spiritual gifts of its members.
Yes.
And this is actually what Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians 12 and also 1 Corinthians 13, which is an additional spiritual.
So a church, find a church that keeps the Ten Commandments, a church that has the testimony of Jesus, but also a church that acknowledges or wants to help you find the gifts that God has given you and then utilizes them for the ministry,
edifying the
saints and for unity and the knowledge of Jesus and uses it. There's a lot of churches that just sit, give us your money, and then go away. But there's other churches that are active and want to incorporate you into their service.
I finally have one.
Yes, okay.
Call me a minute. When Jesus went up to heaven, right?
Yes.
And his parting words in Matthew chapter 28.
Yes.
Like, go therefore and make disciples of all men. You want to find a church that is following the commands of Jesus. So a church that is missional in its
God. Not some country club that's just sitting there for week to week, but actually has active and is fulfilling Jesus' mission. Okay? Anything else that you guys can think of?
I figure you want to go to Luke chapter 4, verse 16.
Luke 4. Okay.
Looking at the example of Jesus himself.
Luke.
Jesus went to church.
Jesus went to church.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. So his home church. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There are two mm-hmm. things that I see here, actually three things. One we already talked about, it was his custom to go to church. Mm-hmm. Jesus went, whether they were going to stone him or not, he was there. Mm-hmm. Number two.
You're saying because he almost got stoned at church.
Yes, he did, exactly. And number two.
So if you're being persecuted at church, go anyway.
Go anyway.
You're saying, okay.
You are a minister to other people.
That's profound.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
And then he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That connects us to the commandments. We talked about the word of God being the one that guides us into the right place. Well, the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments,
yes.
And we need to look for a church that does honor the Fourth Commandment as being holy and still valid.
And worships the Lord of the Sabbath.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the last part is, he stood up to read.
Mm.
He was reading the Word of God. But we have to understand, in those days, the reading of the Word of God was not everyone has his own little Bible or tablet and the Bible on it. There was one scroll, and they were reading to everybody. And just like we are here discussing the Word of God, there was a communal community experience in interpreting the Word of God. It was not just me, but it was all of us together, because that's how we edify each other. That's how God speaks to me, sometimes through Israel, more often through Siku, and all the time through Justin. You know, so it's like this experience that comes in a group together. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. These are wonderful principles, and these are just, I think this is God's will is very clear in showing us which direction we should go. What about digital churches?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this was Jesus' day. He didn't have internet, but if he had, he'd probably, you know, sit at home and just click in and watch church service through whatever.com.
Well, if we have the time to just break down more of Hebrews, of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is actually a sermon, and in Hebrews chapter 6, he's laying the foundation for, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And the issue that we have as human beings is we're naturally drifters.
Mm.
He's saying, you know, we're drifting, and forsaking the assembly of ourselves together causes a drift.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough to have worship at home.
Mm.
Yeah, you can learn stuff, but church is designed to keep us from drifting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My takeaway from this episode is we need to go to church, regardless of all the exterior and whatever past experiences. Go to church to find Jesus and to experience that mystery that Israel was talking about. My takeaway is finding the will of God through the Bible, going to church, experiencing Jesus, and then getting more people to experience Jesus again. It's the cycle mm-hmm. that the Great Commission is talking about. This has been a blessing of an episode for me. Hopefully it's been for you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.